Live from the Farm Progress Show, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We're coming to you from the U of I tent, which is at the corner of Western and 3rd Street on the Farm Progress Show. If you have the opportunity tomorrow, come out and see us. It'll be a hot one, but we will be here. We have shows in our tent with our grain analyst and many more folks. That happens at 10 o'clock in the morning. Maureen Samuelson is with us at that point and hosts the show. And then again at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for this program, which is live. We're going to skip the numbers today, relatively speaking, because, well, the markets, did anybody see them? They didn't do much. 3 to 5 cents on either side of unchanged. That's good enough for a market update. Paul Cooley is with us. He's our regular grain analyst on Wednesday afternoon. Paul, thanks for coming to the Farm Progress Show.
It's a lot of fun to be here in Central Illinois where the action is.
What did you hear? Yeah, Central Illinois where the action is, baby. What did you hear from your farmers today that you talked to?
Well, believe it or not, some of the early corn harvest in Illinois is a little better than we thought. This last 5 to 10 days, the phone's been ringing off the hook from people that still had old crop corn and old crop soybeans, and they were in a horrible dilemma whether to pay the extra storage, carry it into next year, or market it. And I said, you know, you've done pretty well. Why don't you just cash it out?
What made you tell them that?
Well, they've called me every day of the week, so, you know, it was a kind of a talk telethon. But the real factor is that they're worried about, you know, the basis is quite strong, the prices are quite strong, the basis is strong, and it costs them another 16 cents to pay for storage for next year. And, of course, we are going to have a big crop production report, and my hunch is that the bean crop is still going to be probably the same as the USDA's, and the corn crop, in my humble opinion, is going to be not as low as the Pro Farmer Tour.
We'll have more with Paul Cooley when we return here. We're coming to you today live from the Farm Progress Show. It's in Decatur, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On stage with us will be many of our grain analysts. You can always hear us online if you'd like. We're at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our ag programming, from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report. It happens each and every day, not long after it airs on our radio station, and the midday, too. Don't forget about Commodity Week. That's our weekly program. We take a look at what happened in the world of agriculture. It's all at willag.org. It's a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the University of Illinois. We'll be back right here in just 2 minutes with the closing market report from the Farm Progress Show.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says rain will increase across the Midwest Thursday through Sunday. Another period of restricted rainfall will begin next week, and new soil moisture will soon be lost to evaporation, and crop stress could increase once again. Temperatures will be warmer today through Friday, and highs in the south will be in the middle 80s to the middle 90s, with upper 90s in portions of Missouri and upper 90s and lower 100s in eastern Kansas. Cooling will begin Saturday, and highs Monday through Wednesday will be in the 70s with a few lower 80s. Highs in the north will be warm from the 70s with some lower 80s today to the 80s with a few lower 90s Thursday. Friday will be cooler, and highs Saturday through Wednesday will be in the middle 60s to the middle 70s with some upper 70s and lower 80s in eastern areas on Saturday.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Farm Progress Show, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, live in the U of I tent. Come see us tomorrow if you have the opportunity. We're at the corner of 3rd and Western. That's just to the right of the main gate as you make your entrance into the Farm Progress Show site by about a block and a half. Up on stage with us at this point is Sean Schmines, who happens to be with Rabo Agrofinance, and Gary Schnitke. Both of them are here to talk about crop insurance, land values. We'll start with Gary Schnitke this morning, who was along with the Illinois
Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers.
Released a brand new survey.
It's a mid-year survey of their membership in which they peg what this year's or what mid-year land values look like and what next year's crop cash rents look like.
Mm-hmm. I always get in trouble when we talk about cash rents, but I'm going to let you do that. Tell me about land values and cash rents, Gary.
Land values are up, and they're up considerably. The Illinois survey suggests they're up 14% during the first 6 months of this year. USDA said 18% over all the year, and it does seem right that these 6 months is when we've had the most increase. Illinois Society pegs excellent quality land at $10,000 on average, and obviously there's some above it and some below it. So when you hear those high $13,000 or $14,000 sales, they do exist, but the average is, according to the Illinois Society, $10,000.
And cash rents?
Cash rents, and again, we're looking prospective at 2012, and we're just in the beginning of that season of setting them. They're calling those up as well. Cash rents, they're estimating, are going to go up about $35 an acre. That would put, for Illinois Society professionally managed land, and that is key here, 170 to 190 bushel cash rent would be at $325 per acre. And that will be above the average cash rent because professionally managed land typically has higher cash rents.
Yeah, I won't repeat that number. Holy smokes. Does it work out?
You know, if you're looking at $6, $7 corn as an expectation next year and your average yields, high cash rents can work. The question that everybody's going to have is what happens to those cash rents when we have $4 corn or lower, because it doesn't work at all.
You have an answer?
Cash rents have to come down.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
The simple answer is cash rents have to come down, and it's a question of how long it takes them to get there.
Sean Schmines of Rabo Agrofinance. Can you make loans at that?
It gets difficult and difficult at times, but you can do, as like Gary said, when the cash crop is up that high, you can make that work over a short period of time, but you got to be very careful.
How do you do that? How do you work with clients to make it happen?
Well, I think what we work with clients is a lot of different things. There's a lot of different tools. We work on the marketing side. We work on the crop input side of being able to control those costs and keep it in line. So we help with the financial planning, make sure they got it all prepared and got it in line and are using the right people, and that helps out a lot.
Are you widely spread across the Midwest state of Illinois?
Yes, we are. We got an office in Springfield. We're in Indiana and Indianapolis, Sterling, Illinois. So we got quite a few local locations where we do business out of.
Tell me about Rabo Agrofinance. What is it? How long has it been around?
Rabo Agrofinance has been in the United States for about 7 years. They're part of the Rabo Bank Network, which is a bank out of the Netherlands, which has been around for 100 years. So we've grown our business extensively over the last 7 years, and I kind of had about an average rate of about 50% growth year over year for the last 7 years.
I know a little something about Rabo. It's a bank, as you said, out of the Netherlands, but it's based in agricultural roots.
It's based in agricultural roots. It was started by Dutch farmers, like I said, 100 years ago. The only thing that they invest in outside of the Netherlands is in food and ag.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being with us. Sean Schmines is with Rabo Agrofinance. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report, live from the Farm Progress Show. Don Norton, who is an education coordinator with IALF, is here. That's the Illinois Ag Leadership Foundation, to talk about the foundation and its work and the way it helps develop leaders in the state of Illinois.
Well,
how does that happen?
Thank you very much for the free airtime. We do appreciate it. I've been here recruiting our class of 2014, which is the class that starts 1 year from now. The Illinois Ag Leadership Program is a two-year class of 15 seminars. We essentially learn from the best that our state has to offer, We learn about economics from the University of Chicago. We learn about business management from the Kellogg School at Northwestern University. Learn about ag policy from the University of Illinois and international policy. The seminars are 2 to 3 days long, mostly, except we do have 1 week we spend in Washington, D.C., and 2 weeks where we travel internationally to find out about how we can market better and how we can bring our crops to other countries. Next March, we're going to China and India with the class that's currently in session, which is the class of 2012. So anybody in agriculture, age 25 to 49, who is interested in ag leadership, and you know somebody who is interested in ag leadership, we'd appreciate hearing from you about them.
How do they get in contact with you?
You can go to agleadership.org and look me up, and I'll be more than happy to accommodate them. We've had a great deal of success. Earlier today, we had Wendell Shulman up here. He's now the president of the U.S. Grains Council. He's a graduate of our program. Philip Nelson from the Farm Bureau, Ron Warfield, who many of you may know from both the University of Illinois and again from the Farm Bureau. All of those are graduates of our program.
Thank you so much, Don. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Todd.
And we are glad to have Don Norton with the Illinois Ag Leadership Foundation with us here at the University of Illinois tent on the Farm Progress Show site. Let's get down to business. Let's do grains and commodities. So this afternoon we have a series of analysts on stage with us. We've already talked with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities is here, along with Jackie Vakes with Stuart Peterson, Matt Bennett of TGM, Greg Wagner, who is with Greg GWX, Ag Advisors out of Chicago, and, of course, Paul Georgie with Allendale. Paul, we'll start with you. You're in the midst, your company is, of taking a survey of farmers and what kinds of yields they expect or are seeing, one of the two, in their field.
We are in the midst of a survey that we do every year. We've done it for 15-plus years now. It's called the Allendale Annual Yield Survey. It's a survey where we ask you, the producers, to fill out a survey on our website or call us at our office. We ask you simple questions like, what kind of yield do you expect this year? What did you have last year? Corn, soybeans, what kind of price expectancy do you have? Have a little fun with it. And also, how much grain do you have sold? And that's some of the things, Todd, that we're seeing on the report so far. And we've got a few days left. We run this from the last 2 weeks of August. In this case, it'll be through Friday. But we ask people, how much grain do they have sold? And there's very few that have too much sold. Most of the producers that we're talking to have anywhere from 0, 10, maybe 15% sold, which really surprises me. But and then we ask, well, are you going to sell any more? And, well, I don't know if I'm going to get any corn or not. But, you know, that takes me into the next answer here to the question that we get asked, how high is this market going? You know, it really probably doesn't matter. You've got to stay in business, and you need to market some of your grain. I'm bullish, by the way. I think markets can go higher, but that doesn't mean you can't market your grain in a way that keeps you in business, because there's a lot of money on the table right now.
Well, I think when they fill out your survey that the guys get to that question, and then if they're not very sold, they just go ahead and fill the rest of it out. But if they're like 80% sold at this point, they don't bother to finish. They don't
could
bother
be.
To finish it out. Is that right?
That
so,
could be.
How close has the survey been? It's an annual survey.
The survey has been extremely accurate, less than 1% accuracy to what the USDA final numbers are. And we attribute that to you knowing your fields better than a crop tour knows, driving along the roads and looking at the crops. You know your fields. Is that soybean field going to produce 45 or is it going to produce 70? You got a better idea than somebody driving along the road. Not that it's not a good thing in the crop tour we seen last week, but you know your fields better than anybody else.
Jackie Vakes, conventional wisdom actually does say that most producers are farther along maybe in their sales, I think, than what Paul's seen, at least in his survey. Where do you think they might be in relationship to the folks you talk to, whether they happen to be your clients or other folks?
In most cases, people are saying somewhere between 30 and 40%, and all of them have those dreaded sales that are down at that 4 to 450 level that they can't seem to get over. But I think you also see people out there who are sold farther than that, but they use option positions to be able to do it. You know, so they've got themselves a floor but they don't put a ceiling in there on their market. So I'd say 30 to 40%.
Matt Bennett with TGM. You've been in the field. You're in Shelbyville, Illinois, which is in the east central part of the state, south of Champaign-Urbana, by about an hour or so, roughly speaking. What did you find when you opened up the fields?
We probably harvested 20, 25 acres is all we've done. We opened up a couple fields, and it was all April planted, and it was all side-dressed, and we also put on last fall, so it was a split application. And the corn was excellent. I'm not going to put a number on it. I'm just going to tell you it was probably 30 bushel better than what I thought it was going to be.
That's a lot better. Do you think producers will find that in general? Because if they do, that's a whole different...
I want to quantify it because I've been in several fields, and some of my May corn in that exact same field, because that was the night that we got rain. I think it was April 8th or 9th. We planted 100 acres out of 140, and we probably are looking at about 40 to 50 bushel less on the May planted, because we yield checked it yesterday just to see what we, you know, what we would compare to, because it's way too wet to get into.
Wayne Nelson, you're in one of the drier areas of the state that hasn't done as well this year, Indiana. I know you're closer to the Illinois border, halfway between Indianapolis and the border. What do you hear, and does it vary much across the state of Indiana?
Well, Todd, I think that it does vary a lot across the state of Indiana. You get over southeast of Indianapolis and northeast of Indianapolis, and it's a disaster. There are probably 100 bushel type corn. In our area, the corn looks very good. The ears, in most cases, are probably 20% less girth around. The kernels are probably two-thirds the size of a depth and density like that. So we're looking at probably being down 50 to 60 bushels from what we were expecting earlier.
Paul Cooley, you've listened to what they've had to say. What do you find in there that you can use to help you market a crop for your clients? And tell me in particular about beans and whether those have an explosive potential still.
You know, they're all wonderful people, and they have wonderful ideas. And I think this is one year you have to be very, very careful. And I'm not too sure that it wouldn't pay to play the game very carefully into the USDA crop production report. My opinion is that the government won't lower the acreage until the October report. My other opinion is I don't think the government's going to change the bean number very much. And the real wild card, of course, is the corn number. And, of course, I'm guessing close to 150, national average.
Jerry Goodell has joined us. He's from North America Risk Management. Jerry is in Chicago, maybe has a better feel on what the trade is thinking there, maybe. But we're not sure. He doesn't seem to. He doesn't look all that confident at the moment. But, well, 2 years ago, Jerry, how many were in the audience 2 years ago? We don't have the other guy back, but Jerry almost got in a fight over beans a couple of years ago. Are you in a fighting mood about beans today?
Oh, I'm not in a real fighting mood about beans, though. But we all know that the next couple weeks here in the Midwest is hugely important to our soybean yield. Yeah, we could have a swing of pretty significance in some of these fields out here. We get that one-inch soaker that we're all hoping is going to come around the corner. That can make a difference between 50 and 35 bushel beans, and that's a huge, huge difference in what's going to happen nationwide. And then also we get a rain in the southeast for those double crops, because we have doubled our double crop situation this year in a number of acres. In some of these states, it's 50% of the beans that they're on the list is double crops. And boy, you know what can happen to a double crop bean if it doesn't get rain at the right time? It can be virtually worthless. But as Paul has mentioned here, the soybeans can be quite explosive. I think from part of the issue is, of course, the U.S. and we have our major buyer of the world, China. China has slowed down recently a little bit on their soybean imports because they got a little stacked up on their imports. Part of that's because of their hog industry over there had disease issues and didn't have as good of numbers as they thought they're going to have. And they had now record hog prices in China, which Beijing has encouraged now to expand their hog production again for 2012. And they're big soybean meal consumers. And so I think that's really important, of course, to us. Plus, it's also going to be hugely important to South America. But in the backdrop of all this that's going on, Price of corn and the price of soybeans is about 2 to 1. That's very low, as we historically know.
Greg Wagner, we're going to talk about how Chicago is viewing demand and corn in particular. We heard about China as a potential importer, and they import soybeans, but they may import corn or more corn. I want you to talk about demand, you and Jackie Vakes both, and whether we've done demand destruction, what that does to the marketplace, or whether it's just leveling off.
Yeah, and Todd, that's the bottom line on all this. We're not going to run out of corn. And you walk around here, and I'm hearing people talk about $10 or $12 corn, and I tell you what, I don't think it's going to happen. What I would point out, from a producer standpoint and a marketing standpoint, take a look at the 2011 December corn contract. On June 30th, 2010, this is when the acreage report came out, that market went almost 30 cents lower and traded to 375. We've doubled that price. If we walk through over the course of the last 12 to 14 months, watch this market as it behaves around these crop production reports. They're very, very important. USDA shocked everybody by cutting 5.7 bushels average yield from the corn down to 153. That's in the August report, September report. I don't think they're going to make that big of a cut, but the expectations for a big cut are going to be there. Bottom line here, watch the reports. We have August, September, October, November. If we go sharply higher off any of those reports and trade unchanged, this market is done. I think we'll have a high in the corn market sometime before November or off that November crop report.
You know, and when you talk about demand destruction, that's a major question that we have in this marketplace. The thing that we don't know in today's market, in contrast, let's say, to even 2008, is how many businesses, cattle producers, hog producers, ethanol plants have actually protected themselves. How many cattle producers right now, instead of feeding $7 corn, are feeding $4 corn? And the big question is going to come as we get into next year and whether or not they've got themselves covered there. So I think, you know, the reality is, until we see somebody who's willing to give, and I always thought it was probably going to be the export market, but it doesn't seem to be that just yet, this market is going to continue to find higher levels. The biggest thing for you is if you're sitting back and you're waiting to sell, I don't think the spot market will stop going, but I do think you could find yourself in a position where you can't forward contract into the deferred months, and you have to make sure you stand on top of that basis. You know, we're heading into harvest, and markets continue to head higher. Basis most likely will become much wider.
Matt Bennett, as you write, you operate an elevator. Will we get to the point, do you think, where you can't make a sale?
I don't think to the extent that we did the last time around in 08-09, because the entire ag industry and the banking industry has adjusted itself to the point where I think guys are able to keep their hedge accounts much bigger than what they were.
And Paul Cooley, do you think that this is a possibility or not?
No, I think I agree with Matt. The big grain companies have lined up the credit. They're better financial shape, and the big city banks know how to play the game as well.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services, Matt Bennett with TGM, Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, Wayne Nelson with L&M, Greg Wagner with GWX, and, of course, Jerry Goodell with North American Risk Management. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. We're live from the Farm Progress Show.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. One more big day tomorrow at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. Come on out and visit with Todd Gleason at the University of Illinois tent at the corner of West Progress Avenue and 3rd Progress Street. You just inside the main gate, make a right turn, walk down the block, and find the U of I tent. Todd will have agricultural outlook panels at 10:30 in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, live broadcast of the Closing Market Report. So drop on by and say hi to Todd. It's at the University of Illinois tent at the Farm Progress Show.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, posted not long after it airs on our radio station. Visit us online at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
From the Farm Progress Show, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. On stage with us now from Country Financial is Eric Van Asdale. He's a spokesperson for commercial agribusiness loss control. Eric, you're here to talk about a really serious subject. There are a lot of deaths, as you know, in the farming world, and they're accidental deaths. They happen each and every year. This is the most dangerous job in the nation. We just completed a survey. What did you find?
Well, and from June 2010 to July 2011, we had 39 farmers die in the state of Illinois. That's almost double last year's, and it's an all-time high for the previous 10 years. And we do this report leading up to National Farm Safety Week to give us some stats to come out here and help publicize National Farm Safety Week, which is September 18th through the 24th.
Fall is a really tough time for farmers. Many people are busy. What is the most common type of death?
The most common type of death has been tractor runovers and tractor rollovers, usually while mowing, with 11 farm deaths last year.
So those would happen in this month, the month of August usually?
Well, those happen year-round. You're mowing year-round through the summer, any time of the year. But a lot of the roadway collisions is the second most common cause of death, and a lot of those are happening now during harvest season.
I suspect that most of these tractors are older machines and don't have ROPS on them.
Correct. Most of the losses we're seeing are older machines that haven't had ROPS retrofitted, or people that have the ROPS but don't wear their seatbelts when they're mowing.
And ROPS, by the way, stands for rollover protection system. That's the big bar that goes on the back side of the tractor. Many farmers are also engulfed in grain bins.
Yes, that's a big area of emphasis right now. We had three in our study that we found of farmers that died from grain engulfment. But it's seeing more and more of those each year, and it's something that we need to get a hold of.
Eric, thank you so much. Eric Van Asdale is with Country Financial Insurance. We've got 2 minutes to wrap things up. I want your best piece of advice, grain analyst, as we make our way out of this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. And we'll start here with you, our Greg Wagner.
I would say stay smart by meaning staying smart, filter out the noise, focus on your bottom line, and make sure you keep your head on your shoulders and looking at the market and get some sales off.
Jackie Bakes?
I think the most important thing is just what we were talking about. Stay safe. It's going to be hot, and you're going to be tired.
I'd say that keep a very, very close eye on South America's decisions on what they plant this year. Could make a huge difference on new crop beans.
That's Jerry Goodell. Matt Bennett.
Don't get so wrapped up in just price and think profitability for your individual farm.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Watch the early yield reports, because if they come in stronger, this market's going to fail.
And Paul Cooley.
And I would reward new crop corn for next year, new crop 12.
Give these folks a nice round of applause. We do really appreciate them being here in the University of Illinois tent. Don't forget that you can come and see us. We're at the corner of Western and 3rd Street right here on the Farm Progress Show. Tight. Lots of orange and blue. We're easy to see. And if you want to come and bring your students, that's what we really want to happen. Come and bring your students. We'll talk to you about coming to the University of Illinois and whatever part of our College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences that they'd like to be in, from crop sciences to ag economist and all the way through our agricultural engineering, health and nutrition and safety. All those things are part of the University of Illinois College of ACES. You've been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the Farm Progress Show. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.